ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 5 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड बेक्स चैरिटी फ्रॉम बलि महाराज।
यतो जातो हिरण्याक्ष चरण एक मामये प्रतिवीरम दिग्विजये नविंदत गदायुधः।
ट्रांसलेशन। इट वॉज इन योर डिनेस्टी दैट हिरण्याक्ष वॉज बॉर्न। कैरिंग ओनली हिज ओन क्लब ही वॉन्डर्ड द ग्लोब अलोन विदाउट असिस्टेंस to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. No purport to this verse. We go to the next verses, verses 6 till 10.
Yam virijyata krichrena Vishnu smodhar agatam atmanam jainam mene tadviryam bhuri anusmaram.
When delivering the earth from the Garbhodaka sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. Text 7.
Nishamya tadvadham brata Hiranyakashipupura हन्तुम् ब्रात्री हनम् क्रुद्धो जगाम निलयम् हरे।
When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu. Text 8.
तम् आयान्तम् समालोक्य शूलपाणिम् कृतान्तवत् चिन्तयामास कालोक्न्यो Vishnur Maya Vinam Varaha.
Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. Text 9.
Yato yato ham tatraso mrityu prana britam eva अतोहम अस्य हृदयम् प्रवेक्षामि परागदृशः।
Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me as death follows all living entities. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. Text 10.
एवं सो निश्चित्य रूपो शरीरम् आधावतो निर्विशेषे सुरेन्द्र श्वासानिलांतरित सूक्ष्म देहस्तत्प्राण रंध्रेण विविघ्न चेतः।
ट्रांसलेशन। लॉर्ड वामनदेव कंटिन्यूड, ओ किंग ऑफ द डीमंस, आफ्टर लॉर्ड विष्णु मेड दिस डिसीशन ही एंटर्ड द बॉडी ऑफ हिज एनिमी हिरण्यकशिपु, हु वाज रनिंग आफ्टर हिम विद ग्रेट फोर्स। In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already in the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshe Arjuna Tishtati. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. Logically, therefore, it was not at all difficult for Lord Vishnu to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. The word vivigna chetaha, very anxious, is significant. It is not that Lord Vishnu was afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Rather, because of compassion, Lord Vishnu was in anxiety about how to act for his welfare.
Om Ajnanate.
हरे कृष्ण। This may be practically my first Srimad Bhagavatam class on a Sunday. Not used to giving a morning Bhagavatam class to such a large audience. So I seek the blessings of my God brothers and God sisters for speaking today. So we all know here that Vaman Dev has approached Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj is ready to offer him anything that he would ask. So before asking from Bali Maharaj, Vaman Dev actually glorifies the forefathers, his great grandfather Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, later on his grandfather Viroch, and then afterwards Prahlad, great grandfather Prahlad, and then Virochan. And this particular verse here shows the nature of the Lord, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that here Lord appears to be fearful of Hiranyakashipu, and in that fear he enters the heart of Hiranyakashipu. But Prabhupada, in the purport, he very much clearly emphasizes, saying that it's not so difficult for the Lord to enter. In fact, he is already there in the heart of all the living entities. Quotes the verse, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Riddheshi Arjuna Tishtati. So it's not so difficult for him to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. But then Prabhupada makes a very important statement here, that the Lord is very anxious. Vivigna Cheta said that the Lord was not afraid of Hiranyakashipu, rather because of compassion, Lord Vishnu was in anxiety how to act for his welfare. We all know that the Lord is the heart of all living entities. But at the same time, it is mentioned that the Lord reserves the right to reveal himself only to his devotees. This is exemplified in the story of Ambarish Maharaj, when Durvas Muni released a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj did not retaliate. And in order to protect Ambarish Maharaj, Lord released the Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra went after Durvas Muni in an attempt to kill him. And then when Durvas Muni was running after through different planetary systems, he went to Brahma Loka, then afterwards to Shiv Loka, and then finally to Vishnu Loka also. And there he begged Lord Vishnu to protect him. Lord Vishnu said, I cannot do that. Only my devotee can protect you from this Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra has been released. Now it's not in my control. And there is a very famous verse. Sadhava Ridhayam Mayam Sadhanam Ridhaya Tvaham Madane Tena Janapi Naham Tego Managapi. I am always in the core of my devotees, heart of my devotee, and the devotees are always in my heart. I know no one but my devotees, and my devotees know no one but me. Now the question is that the Lord is in the heart of all the living entities. Then how is it that he says that he is only in the core of his devotees? And Prabhupada mentions that the Lord is a supreme autocrat, and he reserves the right of not being revealed to the non-devotees. Somebody who is a devotee, the Lord reveals himself. Ye yathamam prabhadyante tam stataiva bhajamim. As one approaches him, the Lord rewards him accordingly. So, though the Lord is within the heart of all, but only someone who has surrendered his life to him, only the Lord reveals himself. And the Lord says that I don't know anyone but my devotees, and my devotees know no one but me. So that's the thing. The Lord, he does, reciprocate only to someone who has surrendered his life. But another quality of the Lord is that he is always very anxious, or is always looking for someone who is making an attempt to become a devotee. That is also a Lord's quality. He is always there. He is always looking for this conditioned souls to turn towards him. And some or the other makes an inauspicious situation auspicious for the law, for the insignificant, living insignificant conditioned souls. The same story of Hiranyakashipu, it's in the 7th canto. It is said that when Lord Narsingdev killed Hiranyakashipu, everyone very afraid of him to go in front of Lord Narsingdev. And Lord Narsingdev, after he killed Hiranyakashipu, he sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And here it said that purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Lord knew that Hiranyakashipu was his dear servant. The Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were his doorkeepers, Jay and Vijay. And because of the curse, they are here and they are performing these activities. And Prabhupada mentions that the Lord has no hesitation to sit on the throne which was so laboriously created by Hiranyakashipu. In other words, Hiranyakashipu did not willingly give the throne to the Lord. But what did the Lord do? The Lord created a situation in such a way that he sat on the throne and accepted the service of Hiranyakashipu. It is as if Lord sat on the throne indicating to every one of us that I have now accepted whatever Hiranyakashipu has possessed. So the Lord made that inauspicious thing, auspicious or unfortunate thing, as fortunate for that personality, Hiranyakashipu. So he gave the credit to Hiranyakashipu that this person has so laboriously worked, but now I am accepting it. He has taken it. That's the Lord's prerogative, Lord's quality. That he somehow or the other sees that he accepts the service of his devotees. If somebody unwillingly also doesn't want to, but still he does it and takes it. Right? This happened in Satyuga. The Lord, wise to speak of the demons, even someone who is not in a body of a human being also, the Lord has given his, you know, mercy. And he says that here Prabhupada mentions, he is always in anxiety how to act for his welfare. We know in Treta Yuga, Jatayu was in the body of a vulture. Right? He is not even a creature whom somebody would appreciate or somebody would adore or somebody would compare. Jatayu performed such a service for the pleasure of Lord Ram. Lord Ram, when he came in front of Jatayu, he became so much obliged to him, to Jatayu, that he acted as his son and performed the last funeral rites for Jatayu. Who can do that? Jatayu performed this particular act. It was basically, from material point of view, it was a loss. It was a defeat, because he fought with Ravan and Ravan cut off his wings. But materially, if anybody would estimate or just conclude, they would say, yes, Jatayu lost the battle. But Lord understood that it was a service which was rendered to him, and then he himself decided to perform the last rites for him. At the same time, he accepted the service of the monkeys also. That's the Lord's desire. Always very anxious to act for his welfare. If you see in Dwapar Yuga, demon Putana, she wanted to kill Lord Krishna. She came in disguise of her mother. She wanted to feed Krishna, but at the same time her desire was to kill. So baby Krishna sucked the milk from the breast of Putana. But while sucking, what happened? Sucked the life air out of her body. And then gave, because she had that desire, though she was a demon, she had a desire to serve in this way as a mother. Krishna gave her a position of a nurse in the spiritual world. So this is that quality of Lord. However, in Kali Yuga, if you find, It is said that no one may be having an inclination to serve the Lord. Right? This is the age of Kali Yuga, where people are short-lived, they are lazy, misguided. No one wants to serve in this world. Lord, out of his supreme compassion, comes in a role of a devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he gives everyone that particular gift. It is said that Lord Chaitanya gave the container, that means made them qualified, at the same time then later on gave them the supreme gift of the Harinam, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So it is said that patra patra na vichare nahi sthana sthana yehi yaha pahe tare kare prema dana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not see whether somebody is qualified or not qualified. He was only anxious to give this prema dana to each and everyone, whoever is there in front. He did not see whether somebody is qualified or not. Nahi sthana sthana, the position of that. But whoever you would see, you would just give them this Harinam, Premadana. There is a nice quote, or this one from the Adi Leela, which I would like to read, which shows what the Lord is actually come to give us, Lord Chaitanya. Ekala mala kara ami kaha kaha yaba. Ekalava katafala padiya vilaba. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? Ekala uthana dite haya parishrama. Keha paya keha na paya rahe mane brahma. It would be certainly a very laborious task to pick the fruits and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that someone would receive them and others would not. Atayeva ami agya dilu sabakare yahataha prema phala deha yare tare. Therefore, I order every man within this universe to accept this Krishna consciousness movement and distribute it everywhere. Ekala mala karami katha phala khaba nadiyava ehi phala araki kariba. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Atma icha amrite vriksha sinchi nirantara tahate asankhya phala vrikshera para. By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Atayeva sabha phala deha yare tare khalya oka loka chara amare. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death.
Jagat vyapiya mora habe punya khyati sukinaya loka moragaibe kirti.
If the fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere. And thus, all people will glorify my name with great pleasure. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking.
Bharata bhumite haila manushya janmayar janmasartaka karikara paraupakar.
One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other.
Etavaja janma sa falyam deina yadeshu pranirarte diyavacha shreyarchan acharan sada.
It is a duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. This is the mood of the Supreme Personality of God in form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he has come to give us these fruits of love of God, but he is saying, as a gardener I am alone, I cannot do that. And so many fruits are there, and please help me to distribute this. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami at one place is thinking about the mood of Lord Krishna. What is Krishna thinking? Krishna kahe ama baje mage vishay sukh. Amrita chadi visha mage yehi bada murkh. Krishna is saying, ama baje visha mage yehi bada murkh. That means people in this material world, they may worship me, but then what they are doing, they are asking for poison. Amrita chadi visha mage yehi bada murkh. But then Krishna, the next line, shows us, like sign of hope for what Krishna is exhibiting. Krishna is saying that Ami Vigya Yehi Murke Vishakena Deba. I am very intelligent. For this fool, why should I give him Visha? He says, Amrita Chadi Visha Mage, Ami Vigya Yehi Murke Vishakena Deba. Swacharanamrita diya vishaya bulaiba. He says, I will give the charanamrit, my own. And by this, what will happen? Vishaya bulaiba. Forget about hankering for this material existence. So this is the mood of Lord that always is anxious to act for his welfare. In fact, we all know the famous story of Jaga and Madai, but Lord Chaitanya showed by the example how Lord Jaga and Madai, they were the most, sinful living entities during that time. But then, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, they were delivered. They were delivered. In fact, when Madai was hit, Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu, when about to hit him again, Jaga stopped him. Nityananda Prabhu only saw that one quality of Jagai, that he stopped Madhai from hitting him. Lord Chaitanya came with the Sudarshan Chakra, but then what Nityananda Prabhu said, please my dear Lord, why do you do that? He said, they deserve mercy, not justice. They deserve mercy. Once His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in his Bhagavatam class that in the moment of Lord Chaitanya, mercy supersedes justice. Justice anybody can give. It's not so difficult for someone to give justice. Somebody has done something wrong. Okay, this is the punishment for you. What's so difficult? But the real thing is that somebody gives mercy. Somebody becomes merciful. So Nityananda Prabhu is telling Lord Chaitanya that they deserve mercy, not justice. And Prabhupada mentions that how mercy is superior to justice. That's the mood of a sincere soul, a devotee of the Lord. Just as the Lord is also anxious to act for the welfare of his devotees, similarly the Lord's pure representatives are also very anxious to see that the conditioned souls in the material world are being benefited at the risk of their own lives also. The risk of their own life. In Srirangam, we have this, very wonderful story. Everyone knows about this story, but then this is a story about Sripad Ramanujacharya. Sripad Ramanujacharya took initiation from Mahapurna. Of course, he had many Shiksha Gurus. Prominent among them was Sripad Yamunacharya, whom he did not meet, but then he accepted him as his prominent spiritual master, but took initiation from Mahapurna. And one day Mahapurna told Ramanujacharya that you should go to a place called as Tirukottayur. It's very close by, few miles away. He said from there is a very, very exalted devotee named Goshtipurna. He stays there. So you should take that mantra from this Goshtipurna. So Ramanujacharya takes his order and walks quite a few distance. It may have taken days and weeks to reach that place. And he approaches Goshtipurna for receiving the mantra. Goshtipurna refuses. Goshtipurna says, this is a very, very sacred mantra. And it cannot be given to each and everyone. I am sorry, I cannot give you. Ramanacharya goes back. 17 times he goes to Goshtipurna for initiation. 17 times. Not 1, 2, 3, but 17 times. And then finally, when he goes for the 18th time, he becomes completely desperate. Before that, something happens. It's mentioned that during one of the processions of Sri Ranganath in Sri Rangam, in fact, the deity Ranganath came to dream of the priest and said that you should ask Goshtipurna to give this mantra to Sripad Ramanujacharya. So during this procession, the priest calls out for Goshtipurna, because when the procession is there, everyone comes there to witness this wonderful procession which takes place. And then when the procession is around, priest calls out, Goshtipurna, where are you? After a little while, Goshtipurna comes in front of the priest and says, yes, please tell me. He says, the Lord has ordered you to give that mantra to Ramanuja. Goshtipurna says, how can we give? This is such a sacred mantra. And it can be only given to someone who is very exalted. So Goshtipurna, the priest said, Ramanuja is a very exalted person. And if the Lord has ordered you, then you should better give it. So Goshtipurna goes back. And when Ramanuja appears in front of him for the 18th time, Goshtipurna, he says, okay, I will give you this sacred mantra. But remember one thing. This mantra is not for everyone. No one has taken this mantra up till now. I have not given this mantra to anyone up till now. And please remember one thing, that when I give this mantra you should keep it only to yourself. If at all, if you reveal this to anyone, then the result is that you will go to hell. So remember this. So Sripad Ramanujacharya agrees to this. He very, very humbly receives that mantra, the 8-syllable mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya. So when he receives this mantra, Ramanujacharya is filled with gratitude for having received this mantra. He offers obeisances to his master, Goshtipurna, for being given this mantra. And then he goes out of the ashram. But when he goes out of the ashram, when he sees all the people engaged in material activities, he cannot tolerate that. So he decides that this particular mantra, my spiritual master Goshtipurna said that whoever takes this mantra will go back to the spiritual world. So if I can give this mantra to all these conditioned souls, then these people will all get an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world. So let me do this. So he goes on top of the temple. There's a temple close by. He goes on top of the temple roof. And then from there he shouts, all of you, please kindly hear. Is there anyone who would like to be relieved from this material miseries? So everyone assemble and they know the position of Sripad Ramanuja. I said, yes, yes, I do, everyone say very loudly. And that time, says, do you all want to have an eternal life full of bliss and transcendence? Everyone loudly answer, yes, I do, says, then, please, all of you, please say this mantra after me. Om Namo Narayanaya. When they say this, there is a thunderous noise. Everyone is chanting Om Namo Narayana. He repeats a second time. Om Namo Narayanaya. And then again, everyone chants this. Third time he chants. Says, please take this. And then third time also, everyone chants the mantra. And suddenly everyone feels a change in their heart. They feel completely satisfied, peaceful, and completely devotional in their heart. Ramanujar tells them that now please take this mantra and chant this mantra very sincerely. If you do this, you will achieve the final destination. So everyone offer obeisance and they go back. Ramanujara gets down from that roof and he walks back to the ashram of Goshtipurna, because everyone were in bliss except Goshtipurna, because Goshtipurna is hearing from his ashram the mantra which he had given to Ramanujacharya and expecting that it will be with him. And now he's seeing that so many people who are receiving or so many people are chanting this mantra, he was wild with rage and said, as soon as Ramanujacharya goes in front of him, Goshtipurna is red with anger. And he shouts at Ramanuja. He says, "You rascal, I had given this mantra and I told you that you should keep it with you. Why is it that you gave to each and everyone? Do you know the consequence of this? I hereby curse you that you will go to hell for this." Ramanuja doesn't say anything. He just bows down in front of Goshtipurna and says, "My dear Lord, my dear Gurudev, I know that you had given this mantra to me. But when I went out and I saw all these people engaged in so many materialistic activities, I was thinking, what is the use of me alone chanting this? If I can help them go back to the spiritual world by giving them this mantra, and by this, if I am supposed to go to hell, then let me go to hell. I don't mind that." Tells the spiritual master, he says, "My dear Gurudev, I am ready to go to hell. If I can help all these people, I don't mind." When Goshtipurna hears this, his heart melts. He starts crying. And he picks up Ramanujacharya. He says, "You are the most compassionate. What you have done is right. I was thinking about only myself. But here is you who is thinking about the welfare of each and every one. In fact, you are my spiritual master. You are my guru." That's what Goshtipurna tells Ramanujan. Ramanujan, out of humility, says, "No. My dear Gurudev, if it was not for you, if you had not given me this mantra, how could I have been able to give to others? So ultimately all credit, everything goes to you. So please always accept me as your servant." And saying this, Shripad Ramanujacharya goes away. So this is the nature of a pure devotee of the Lord, who is ready to risk his life for the welfare of others. In fact, once Nitai Prabhu, he approached Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, what do you mean by Bhagyavan?" Then Prabhupada explains that the Lord who possesses all opulence is Bhagwan, and anyone who serves the Lord is Bhagyavan. Anyone who serves the Lord with all these opulences is most fortunate. He is Bhagyavan. So then Nita asks a question. He says, "How do one become Bhagyavan?" Then Srila Prabhupada says, "You can become Bhagyavan by serving the devotees of the Lord. By serving the devotees, then you become Bhagyavan. And that is the quality of the devotees. The devotees will sacrifice for the benefit of others. So when you serve such devotees, then you become Bhagyavan." So it is said that, you know, Burijan Prabhu, in his book, My Glorious Master, He would say that Prabhupada always, you know, whenever he would speak, he said that Srila Prabhupada's voice was, you know, voice of urgency. He said it's like an affectionate father who speaks for the son, fearing that the son may leave away. So Srila Prabhupada would speak like that in a urgency, whatever he would say. And whoever would come into contact with Prabhupada would always feel that yeah, I need to take this process very seriously. Burjan Prabhu mentions that Prabhupada had the ferocity of a lion, but the compassionate heart of a Vaishnava. He was very strong outside, from outside, but then he was very compassionate from heart as a Vaishnava. And then he says, quotes Prabhupada, he says, Prabhupada always said one should have the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. You know? So there's a compassionate nature of a devotee, basically. When you're talking about a sacrifice, there are so many stories from the pages of the scriptures. In fact, in one of his lectures, His Holiness Radhana Maharaj was mentioning, you know, how Vasudev Dutt, same principle, that he wanted to, you know, if this was necessary, he wanted to see that all the people, all the conditioned souls in this world go back. When Chaitanya asked him, what do you want? He says, my desire is that all these conditioned souls go back to the world, spiritual world, and let all their karma come upon me. I don't mind going to hell for that. Vasudeva was ready to sacrifice his life for the benefit of others. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Haridas Thakur, we all know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was talking about Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas Thakur could have stayed back in Benapol and then, you know, done his bhajan over there. But then he was ready to be whipped in 22 marketplaces. And all the while, he was not cursing them. All the while, he was just pleading to the Lord to be compassionate on them. Please, they do not know what they are doing. Please be merciful on them. That was the nature of Srila Haridas Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Radhanath Maharaj gives another example. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it seems he had a nice ashram, Gaudiya Math, where he could have chanted and spent the rest of his life there. But he said he wanted to be in Calcutta, in the battle, in battlefield, preaching aggressively and inducing everyone to chant the holy names. And said Srila Prabhupada followed in the footsteps of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He got the instruction that he should go to the west and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada went to the west and he said in Butler, Pennsylvania, he was there, but then he decided that probably here is not a place where he should preach. He went to New York. And Radhana Maharaj was saying that you can imagine what New York is. New York is hell. And Prabhupada went there and he started preaching over there in that place. He could have stayed in Vrindavan just like anybody, you know, would go to any other disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta would go to the west and come back. Sannyas disciples went and came back, said it's impossible. Prabhupada could have done that. But Prabhupada, against all odds, he went to the west, he preached. Why? Because he became an instrument of compassion. And said, what was Prabhupada's tears? Prabhupada had tears when he saw this fallen conditioned souls. He says, what was Prabhupada's tears? The value of Prabhupada's tears was the mood of Lord Chaitanya. He says, that was the tear of Prabhupada. Paradukha Dukhi. He said, he would make other people suffering as his sufferings. And that is why he risked his life at the age of 70, all through the 10 years. And he was all the time only there just to preach and induce others to take to this process of Krishna consciousness. That was the mood of Srila Prabhupada actually. In fact, you know, this is, Prabhupada mentions, the real compassion. The real compassion is what? That caring for somebody's soul and not for the body. Prabhupada gives an example in the Bhagavad Gita, right in the first few pages. That if somebody is drowning, just to take off his shirt and just get the only shirt back is not saving the person. Actually saving the person is taking him out of the water from being drowned. So similarly, he says, just somebody is only concerned about a body is like blowing air on a boil. It's not going to help anyone. But then, if somebody is really caring for the soul, inducing that person some other to take shelter, that's real compassion. And that's what Prabhupada did. All of you know so many instances where Prabhupada actually exhibited compassion. In fact, one place it is mentioned that once Prabhupada was giving darshan to many, lots of guests were there, and they had got some prasad. One of Prabhupada's disciples got some prasad, and the prasad was kept on the side. So Prabhupada noticed that and said, Prabhupada said, are you not distributing the prasad to them, to these guests? So the disciple said, Prabhupada, I think, you know, there are so many guests. Lots of guests are there. So maybe we'll distribute after the guests leave. So Prabhupada said, they will never leave. And the disciple is saying that the way Prabhupada mentioned that they will never leave, means Prabhupada had so much of hope in those. That these people have come as guests, but they'll remain with us. They'll no longer be guests. They'll be here, they'll stay back, and they will take to this process. So the disciple was saying that I have so much of hope and confidence that Prabhupada has given me that I could. It said that, you know, Shruti Kirti Prabhu was mentioning how Prabhupada was, compassion was exhibited in form of protection also. Like one disciple wanted to divorce his wife. He approached Prabhupada and had said, I want to divorce my wife. So Prabhupada agreed to that proposal. And Shruti Kirti Prabhu said, I was shocked because in the Vedic, this one, injunctions, there's nothing like divorce. And how is it that Prabhupada actually allowed him to give? So he was a little disturbed. So during one time when he was massaging, he just approached Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I just want to ask you this question. He said, how is it that you gave this divorce, allowed him to divorce his wife? Prabhupada said, if I would not have given him, still he would have gone ahead giving divorce to his wife. So by my saying yes, he'll at least not do guru aparadh. By not following the instruction of the guru, one commits what is called as guru aparadh. So that's worse than something else. So better I say yes, so that he at least knows that, okay, I am following my guru and then I am doing this. So another mood of, another way to look at his Prabhupada's compassion, in fact. Said that, you know, one devotee who was a sannyasi, he fell down from his position and he became very depressed, morose. He did not meet him for a very, very long time. And Prabhupada was all the time thinking about this sannyasi. He says, where is this person gone? And then when finally he met him, he just embraced him because he had fallen down from his position. He has got married. He embraced him and said, in whatever position you are, please take to this chanting. Don't miss, don't lose this opportunity. He said, I am not like Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya had denounced Chota Haridas. When Chota Haridas just only looked at a woman when he went to begging, and Lord Chaitanya rejected him. He said, I am not like Chota Haridas. I cannot do that. Just, you know, please, please help me spread this and please continue your sadhana. One day, Govindadasi, she was mentioning that while she was with Srila Prabhupada, she saw one small insect moving around. So when she noticed, even Prabhupada also noticed. And it was very, you know, slimy creature. Govindasi wanted to take it out from that place. So Prabhupada looked at it and looked at Govindasi and said, please go near that insect and chant Hare Krishna. So Govindasi went near to that insect and chanted Hare Krishna. And Govindasi in her realization says that Prabhupada was not only concerned about the conditioned souls in the form of humans, but he was concerned with each and every living entity, whether it's a small creature or anything. And that's that compassionate nature of a soul. In fact, a humorous incident when Hari Shauri Prabhu in his transcendental diary is mentioning that, you know, Prabhupada would always in the night write his books. And he did not want disturbance from mosquitoes. And one such night, it seems, Prabhupada was about to translate. He went under the mosquito net and Hari Shauri Prabhu saw one mosquito moving around. So he had a woolen cap. And then what he did, he just took a woolen cap and just squatted. So the mosquito just, you know, fell dead. So Hari Shauri Prabhu just lifted a mosquito and then threw it aside. So Prabhupada was looking all the while what's happening. And when it went to a little far off place, the mosquito just flapped the wings and went away, ran away. So seeing this, you know, Prabhupada started laughing. And Hari Shauri Prabhu also gave a sigh of relief because he thought, at least I have not killed the mosquito. He was thinking like this. Because he was feeling very guilty that I have killed a mosquito in front of Prabhupada. So he said, at least I have not killed a mosquito. And Prabhupada, just to make the things a little lighter, he said, one time it happened with me also, he said. He said, I also was disturbed by one mosquito and I just hit. But it did not die, but after some time it just flew away. So they shared a very, you know, light moment at that time. The Hari Shauri Prabhu was saying that Prabhupada was feeling very nice that a mosquito did not die, but then left the place. So this is the nature of Srila Prabhupada. Just to conclude, I just want to tell a very nice story which one of the disciples of Prabhupada mentioned. That there was a man who was carrying two water pots on a pole, like you would carry from a river all the way to his house. Like in the village, if you see, there's a wooden stick and on one end you tie one pot and other side you tie another pot and then you carry it along. So every day he would carry two water pots, but one of the water pot was cracked. It had cracked a little. So every time he would carry this water pot from the river till the place, till his house, the pot which had cracked would be half by the time it reached the place. And this would happen for many, many months, almost for 1 or 2 years. And then it seems one day this cracked pot spoke to the master and said, I'm very sorry for this. I'm feeling very embarrassed. Because every time you carry me from here, carry water in my pot, from the river to the place, you know, I'm almost half. I'm not able to serve you nicely. So, please forgive me for everything. I have a flaw. Please forgive me for this. So the master tells this pot, he says, don't think about it so much. He says, I knew that there's a crack in you. But then, what I did, on the side where I would carry you, I had sown some seeds on the roadside. And then over a period of months, and now, it said that so many wonderful flowers have grown this. And these flowers, I pick it up, and I decorate the table of our Lord, our master, in the house. So, all this while, you have been watering all these plants, and these plants are now grown so big that every day I am able to carry lots of flowers and take it home. Just see these flowers. So the pot looks at those flowers and then he becomes satisfied. So he says, don't think that it was your flaw. In fact, I used that flaw for my benefit. I use that flaw for my benefit. And I use this in such a way that it can be of utmost importance. So you have also equally contributed to my purpose, which I wanted to have. So this particular devotee writes that each of us have our own unique flaws. All of us are having flaws. We are not perfect. We have so many defects. We have so many conditionings. We are not pure. We have our own deficiencies. So each one of us have our unique flaws. We are all like crackpots. But if we allow the Lord, if we allow Him, then the Lord will use our flaws to grace His table. The Lord will use our flaws to grace His table. He says, in Krishna's great economy, nothing goes waste. Nothing is waste in Krishna's economy. You may think that it's a flaw. You may think that I have a defect. But you allow Krishna to act upon you. You allow yourself to become an instrument in the hands of the spiritual master. Then what happens? In that situation, nothing goes waste. So as we seek ways to serve Krishna together, and as He calls you to the tasks He has appointed for you, don't be afraid of your flaws. Acknowledge them and allow Him to take advantage of them, and thus you can be the cause of beauty on His pathway. So it is said that only one, what is needed is one sincerity in devotional service. That if one becomes sincere, accepting that, okay, we all have our own flaws, we all have our own defects. But then if you just be sincere and become an instrument of compassion, we cannot be compassionate. The Lord is compassionate. His pure representatives are compassionate. What we can become only the instrument of compassion. We are no one to say that I am compassionate upon all the conditioned souls. We have our own defects. How can we be compassionate on others? But what we can do is that we at least need not become a obstruction. We allow the Lord's mercy, we allow the spiritual master's mercy to act through you, through us. And if you do that, if you allow that to happen, then what happens? Then the Lord can do wonderful things through you. We just have to become very sincere and serve in that way. And the Lord can do that. That's the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come on this planet. He has come to give this supreme gift of love of Godhead. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that Sripad Ramanujacharya, he gave the 8-syllable mantra to some few people in a village. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is not restricted only to that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this mercy to flow to each and every place. Prithvete Achyate Nagaradi Gram Sarvatra Prachara Bhoibe Maranam. And said, this mercy of Lord Chaitanya was spread by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada actually fulfilled that desire. He is the one who actually spread this holy name all over the world. anywhere you go, any place you go, you'll find that, you know, there are people, there are devotees who are chanting the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada had a vision. He knew that this is going to happen. That was the confidence which he had displayed. We were in the train on the way back, just 3 days back. And my dear friend Damodar Prabhu, he was mentioning, he was reading that Hare Krishna explosion. And he was saying that Prabhupada had such a vision that, you know, in the early years, in 1966-67, you know, Prabhupada would have a small printing machine which would print only 100 pages. That's all. And but Prabhupada had such a confidence, he would tell his disciples that we should act in such a way that, you know, one day we should be able to compete with Times magazine. You know, that means our magazine should be famous like the Times magazine, and our magazine should be reaching out to so many people. That was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada always think, you know, big. You do big, you think big. Huh? Just, you know, if he has to buy a property, he'll just say, okay, we are beggars, we don't have anything. Just give to us for free. And then that person would be completely flabbergasted. He would not know what to say. He says, we are beggars, just give it for free. And then he would say, okay, initial amount $5,000. We'll just sign it and rest we'll pay in installments. And that time the people whom he was cultivating, they never had even $100 also, you know, in their pocket. What to speak of 5,000? And what to speak of the installments which he's talking about? So Prabhupada always think big. But then whatever he did, he had that vision and he had that confidence. He knew that what I'm doing is for the welfare of the people, for times to come, for future. What we need to do is that we just have to become just instruments. Allow whatever is to be done. Just never resist. And if you do that, then, you know, we also benefit. And we also remain safe under the lotus feet of the Lord and his pure representatives. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Is there any questions for anyone? Is there any? Are there any questions? If you have any questions, then there are devotees here to answer. I'll pass on the questions to Radha Gopinath Prabhu, Govind Prabhu. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.